God, we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered. We thank you for the joy and the freedom that we have today. Thank you for connection and just an authentic community that we are connected at deep levels here. And we just hand this next hour or so to your care and control and trust that it will find the ears that are ready to hear it and the eyes that are ready to see it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's get it.
All right.
Good, good, good.
You ready
good.
For the intro?
Get them.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Leslie, what is going on here, man?
She needs a drink.
I am right here.
She needs a drink from hanging out with a bunch of sober people. Okay. Jacob, get it on my camera so I can do the intro. Hey, what's up? My name is Christian, and with me today on the Most High Show is Crystal, Jeff, and David. And the topic for today, the general topic, is back to the basics. And one thing I want to say is that we're going to talk a lot about in the framework of recovery, but I think a lot of the things that we do, the habits that we form in recovery, are just general well-being tips and things to help every human can really benefit from some of these practices. But for those of us who are alcoholics and addicts, and you're maybe early in your recovery, and maybe you got some people in your ear telling you some things, we're going to talk about the ins and outs of what it's really like and why some of these things are important. So,
yeah.
Y'all ready for that?
Let's do it. You already know.
Look, Jeff is sitting up, poised, back straight.
Easy killer.
Ready to go.
Ready.
All right. So the first question is, what does it mean to live and let
live?
And what does that mean to you?
So you looked at me, so I'm going to answer
first.
It.
First, always. Yes.
So for me, like, dude, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to let you live your life. But at the end of the day, like, I can't get in your drama and I don't want you in my drama. I don't want to pull somebody down with maybe something negative that I am going through, but I also, you know, if it's something positive, then I do want to be able to share that with others, but I want people to be able to, you know, to give me some space and let me do my thing. And I'm going to respect that and do that for others. So for me, like, let live and let live is, you know, giving me the room and, the space to live my life the way that I choose to live it, whether it be healthy or not. And then I'm going to do the same for you. So really just, you know, I'm going to give you what I would hope that you give me back in return. So.
All right.
That's what it means for me.
I like
that. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody got something they want to add to that? That's a pretty good breakdown.
I really don't.
No?
Nah, I really don't. I could always throw something out there though.
Well, the response that I have is that it's harder to do. It's easy to say, but harder to do.
Yeah.
Especially in certain situations, right?
Like significant others.
Or kids. Or in the road of recovery, like somebody you're vested in like in their recovery.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And you have a position where like you see somebody living some way, maybe, you know, in your own judgmental mind, like, oh, this dude, like pink cloud, man. Oh, I don't think you really been serious about this.
Mm.
Oh, you acting really ambitious right now.
Ooh.
You need to chill. You know, and those are things that run through my mind as a sponsor, right? But I don't do that.
You don't say
I rock out with them.
You don't verbalize it.
No, I rock out with them. And in conversation, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, they talk about, like, if you go to, well, you know, you go to these places and the conversation comes up, and when people start talking about people in early recovery and they start talking about things like about being in a pink cloud means you're like, you're green to everything. You're excited. Mm-hmm. You're elated. You're mm-hmm. up in the clouds, literally, about, you know, your recovery life. When that gets tabled, man, like, a lot of people like really come down on that. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, that's not, they're not, you know, oh, back in the day when I was, they just told me to shut up for 45 days and then we were allowed to talk.
Right.
After we did all the, you know, I don't like, that for me personally, I don't want to give off that kind of vibe to nobody. Right. I definitely want to rock out with them in their true self.
True. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, work it out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like,
I'm not going to watch you walk off a cliff if it's that blatant. But then when they're in their moment and they're in their energy, you know what I'm saying? And they're staying clean. I'm going to rock out with them. We're going to do step work and we're going to keep it moving.
But now that's, you know, in a relationship that's defined as your role in their life is to speak life into them.
Yeah.
Right.
So does live and let live really apply in that scenario?
I think that, like, for me, live and let live has a lot to do with judgment. Like, I think of judgment when you say live and let live. Like, I'm not going to be judging you. And like,
Jeff, what do you got? Doing.
I was trying to look at it from different perspectives. So you can look at it from the perspective of principle before personalities.
Okay.
Live and let live. There was a gentleman named Fitzgerald when I was still in the street, but had 1 foot in sobriety.
Okay.
And I tried a sober living environment for about a week, right? I kind of knew that I was just using it, you know, to dry out for a little while, okay? And Fitzgerald, he was the houseman. And Fitzgerald was no nonsense. He was very serious about his spirituality and his recovery and his recovery responsibilities. But I didn't like him. I didn't like him. Yeah. I didn't like him because he was everything that I am now, to be honest, right? But, you know, he was everything that I wanted to be, but I wasn't back then, right? So it had to be a live and let live situation with me and him because we kept bumping heads. And he looked me in my face and he told me, he said, there's something I got that you want that you don't have. Mm. And that's why you don't like me. Well, and maybe one day you'll understand that.
I like that.
And he lived and let live on me.
Yeah.
He lived and let live on me and just skirted around me. And I know for a fact he was right. Yeah. He was right.
That's perfect. That's a great example.
Let you
that
do
is a good
you.
Example.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm gonna keep you over there with your little, you know, your little aggravation toward me because I don't know you. I'm doing my thing.
Yeah, because who am I, even though I'm in this position, like you are, you know, like you have your, I'm investing in you and you're investing in me to guide you through like the steps. Right? Mm-hmm. But who am I to interfere with your freaking life experience, man?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, are you clean today? Are you working the steps today? Are you calling me? Cool.
Oh, that's your bar.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Yo. Well, but our relationship will definitely develop, right?
And evolve.
Yeah, and evolve. So hey, then we
soon
go
as that,
from there.
You're just waiting for that cloud to burst.
And yeah, then when like, it comes on, up, I got you, bro. I'm here. I'm right here. When that thing falls out, if it does, because I've seen dudes rock out and just keep it moving, man. You know what I mean? And they're still clean. So who am I? You know, I'm going to let you live, man. Do
now,
you.
Let's apply it, this live and let live, to a regular life, right? Like we talk about spouses, friends, and this concept, right?
If that's the case, I have hard, if that's the case, I have a recent example.
Yeah.
Give All us right. One. Last night.
Oh boy.
About 10 minutes ago.
Last night. So I work part time at Willie's down the block, and it's like 2 blocks away, so I never mind walking. And my wife was supposed to pick me up, but she was still working. So I was like, all right, cool, I'll walk home. I walked home, go upstairs, get my dog, right? My phone died, so it's just my watch. Excuse me. So when she called me, she's like, I'm on the way to pick you up. I'm like, babe, I'm already home in the park with Bello. So she's like, okay. I said, all right, I'll see you when you get home. I'll meet you at the parking garage. I said, I'm on my watch. You know, my phone died. I'll meet you at the parking garage. I don't know how my wife got home before I even came around to the parking garage. But next thing I know, she's texting me saying, I'm on the second floor. Where are you?
Oh.
I caught an attitude. because I was sitting there waiting for this woman. Mm-hmm. And this was the only way that she could get into the parking lot. So how did she come from back around my job, zip up into the parking lot and get in there before? Yeah, had to live and let live on that one. Yeah. Why? Because I caught an attitude, yeah, right? And when I came in, when I finally got in, she made sure she stayed in the car so I could go in the house first and not even see her. So she waited for like 10 minutes to come in the house because I was kind of bitching out on the phone. And she was like, why are you tripping? I was like, you hurt my feelings. You had me sitting in the car. I mean, sitting in the cold. Like I'm out here with the dog. I can't get in, right? So and me and her don't have many arguments. And I had to live and let live the situation knowing she didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Right? And she had to live and let live for a couple of minutes to allow me to calm down.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crystal, what about you? You got one?
So for me, really, I mean, like with me and Shane, it boils down to like I have to let him live his life and he has to let me live my life. I mean, we obviously, you know, we can have our opinions on whatever, like whatever. But at the end of the day, like, especially with our recovery, like I have to let him walk his own path and he has to let me walk my own path. Cause if he tries to dictate what I do or vice versa, it's just messy. So, I mean, you know, he is his own individual. So whether he's my husband or not, like at the end of the day, I have to allow him to make his own mistakes. I have to allow him to make his own decisions and, you know, be able to enjoy all of his successes. Like, yeah, I can be a part of it. But he has to experience those things for himself, and same with me. So,
yeah,
I love that,
David.
What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you, Christian? I'll go last. I'll anchor this one.
Okay,
like cannabis.
Well, I think there's a whole fellowship based out of this saying, codependency.
Ooh,
You know, I you know, I've recently went through all the codependency steps, which has by far been the hardest work I've done in 11 years of recovery. It is was the first time with step work where I was like, I don't want to do this. Mm. It's the hardest shit I've ever had to do. And, you know, I think it's because it's like it's a thinking thing, mm-hmm. right? But there's a weird, like, and I was looking into, like, what is codependency? It's not like a mental health diagnosis, technically. Mm. Right. And it's just this weird connection of I think it kind of boils down to like control. And they talk a lot about owning your own power. Mm-hmm. Right. And not allowing others to kind of control you. Right. So and
that's hard. Right. In a in a relationship.
Yeah.
When you see independence, they're like, oh, now you want to. Oh,
yeah.
You Wonder Woman there right now.
Uh huh.
You doing you and you.
Yeah.
She don't need me no more. Yeah. You fade off like Bernie Mac in life.
I think maybe it has something to do with because I think for addicts and alcoholics, depending on everyone's scenario, but I think in general that there was a period of our lives where we were the center of attention because we were fucking everything up, right? Mm-hmm. And so everyone was worried about us and where you at. And I think... and it probably even happens even before that, but there's something about that, you know, about that codependency thing that I think most of us have on some level, you know?
Right.
I don't recommend doing that until you're like totally ready to face it, if it's an issue for you, you know? But that's kind of my thoughts on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like one of the things is like, one way it'll come up is like if Leslie is unhappy, then it's like I become unhappy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like I don't have my own power, my own thoughts and feelings with it because I'm kind of attached to. And in some way, there's like a cosmic thing happening between a married couple, right? Okay. The two become one, and there's some spiritual unity there, but not to the point where it becomes like a distraction or a dysfunction.
Yeah. Right?
So. That's when I see that live and let live, I think like, oh, when they wrote that, they didn't know they were precursoring this whole fellowship of what was going to come out.
Yeah. And now it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's Cody.
Man, I'll tell you, man, that book was like, I tried not to underline everything because I was like, damn. Ooh. Yeah.
What book?
Those are the books, boy.
It's Codependence Guide to the 12 Steps by Melody Beattie. I think her name, how you say her last name? She's like the codependent
queen.
The queen of codependent.
Wes says she's codependent on codependency as a topic.
If I was to say anything about live and let live, as far as it comes to your love, like you're the one who you like married to, or your significant other, or whatever, your partner, I think the one of the biggest difficulties I have in that is if I'm attempting to live that motto, live and let live, right? And it comes to, you know, the one I share my world with. If I like, and especially if it's like something I really disagree with, like if something is happening or my wife is acting out some way that I totally disagree with, but I'm trying to push the motto of live and let live, I can like physically and like body language wise look really cold. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. It quiets me down. It almost puts me in like an isolating, detaching from that part of her.
Yeah.
And then it usually kind of stirs up something where that exact topic gets floored and it does not work out very well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a hard line thing. That's a hard thing to deal with.
You're talking about, that's kind of like taking live and let live to the extreme, right? Yeah. Of like, okay, I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't, and I'm not saying like you,
right.
Just for the sake of conversation, it's like, yeah, I'm going to just remove myself from it and pretend it doesn't exist. And live and let live, I don't think means that you don't have to deal with situations.
No, no, no. Yeah.
And have difficult conversations when they come up.
Right.
Right?
I think it's kind of like what I'm talking about is like where it's almost like the motto of live and let live is being resorted to because it's been tabled. The discussion is made. You're coming to a crossroads where nobody's giving a give.
Oh, I get you.
You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. Nobody's pulling. Nobody's pushing. Yeah. You're standing. And then you just go.
Let's agree to disagree.
Live and let live, baby.
Let's agree to disagree. Yeah.
You're going to have to
agree to disagree. Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's not a smiley thing. I'm going. I go. And I don't even make eye contact. And I go this way. You know what I'm saying? Where you going?
Over here.
So I'm looking like this, and I'm looking down. What's your problem? And then doesn't work out too well after that.
Let's not restart.
Doesn't work
that.
Out.
Let's not restart. That's a tough that.
One. It's a tough one. In my marriage, it's tough one. You know, when
so
we face those types of things.
I think you and we've just heard four people, who I would say are pretty devoted and dedicated to their recovery, mm-hmm. that this is still a thing.
Oh, yeah, without sure. a doubt. Yeah. All
so
this.
If in your relationships you're finding these conflicts and it's hard to navigate that stuff, guess what? That's called living.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's difficult to be in close relationship with other people.
It's hard.
And so give yourself some grace, realize that, and hopefully you have somebody that you can talk to. One of the things that really started helping me was rather than bitching to the person who was to blame, I'd call a friend and bitch to him. And he would hear me out. Sometimes he would go, you know, yeah. Or sometimes he'd be like, all right, man, come on. You know, but that would get it out of my system in a sense. That then would give me the ability to live and let live.
That's almost,
let it go.
That's almost like, that's what friends are for in my life. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you. And I, you know how long? years of recovery until I figured that out. Yeah. That I could call one of my brothers and just go at it and let him have that brunt because he's not taking it personal at all.
And right. save yourself a whole argument and a
yes.
whole mess.
Yeah. And then because when I come down from that, I find it tend to be like a little more rational, a little more like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you can look at it from probably the perspective that it needs to be looked at and not one when your emotions are completely high and you're only looking at it through your angry lens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, and this is like my personal opinion, right? But I think in the community that we are all in and we all represent, right? It's like a taught, you know, to be in the recovery community and to work steps that are structured around your life and to live a life of service, to have a sponsor and sponsee relationship, to be an active member, you know, and what that means mm-hmm. to be in the recovery community, like being a friend being a confidant, being somebody that it's like, yo, I'm not, I'm your friend. Like, you're part of my fellowship. Like, please come to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because we know, like, you know, we've lived through the consequences of not having that type of interaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really, like, made our lives totally unmanageable.
Right.
And it's really put us all in these chairs right now, fellowshipping right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's an advantage that we have living the lives that we live, being able to talk with somebody. Because it's almost like, yo, I got to rap with you, Crystal. This is crazy. Like, you are going to, I believe in my opinion, that you would take extra measures to listen to me if I reach out to you
yeah.
with a problem. And that's you and you, right? More than some, maybe somebody even in my own family.
Right.
Not yeah. saying anything bad about the person in my family who loves me so much.
Right.
But like that interaction.
We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's we know you're crazy.
100%. Yeah.
Because we're crazy.
Absolutely.
All day.
That's it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or just know how to do it, you know? How to be your friend and like mm-hmm. do that back and forth.
That
give
part.
You that rigorous honesty.
That part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Give you like, yo, question you a little bit. Yo, you sure that's... He was like, are you sure that's how it really happened? You know, that type of shit.
I mean, I know you. I mean, y'all.
Okay. Yeah. You know, right. Okay. You know.
Yeah. That's why you got to have like three or four people. You have one person that really cheers you on. And it's always like, yeah, F that ish. You know what I'm saying? Look at that. And you got to have one person who's like really like, now, Christian, where's your part in this?
Oh, Lord. I know.
And who's the other person? Who's the third person?
The other person is someone who just listens.
Yeah. That's it.
The best person.
Yeah.
I don't say anything.
The best person.
That kind of leads to, I'm going to skip down to, this leads to this thing called telephone therapy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, Crystal, why don't you jump in? What is that telephone therapy?
So, it's funny, when I was reading these questions that you had sent, like automatically I knew exactly who I have two, people that I never have to explain anything. And like, I actually had a situation today where somebody who has like an extremely, like they have a lot of time in recovery. And basically like, she was just telling me that I need to learn the principles and traditions and I need to stop giving advice. And I like, really hurt my feelings. Ooh. And like, it was something like, she pulled me into this mess with her and her husband. And I was like, look, this is my opinion. Like, this is just my opinion. I'm not your sponsor. I'm not pulling shit out of the book. Ooh. None of that. So, but yeah, so I had to explain to one of my two people, I had to give her some of the backlog on it. And I was like, this feels weird. Like, I don't ever have to do this with you. But, you know, I had, like, she was trying to help me work through it because, it really hurt my feelings.
That probably hurt you really bad.
Yeah, man. For somebody to tell me that I don't work a solid enough program and they can send me some worksheets. And, like, I was like, I'm, like, at work. And, I mean, they're, like,
she came for you, sister.
Paragraphs. I mean.
She came for you.
And I was just text like, to you?
Like,
she
didn't
like
oh,
it wasn't
opinion?
Just one text. It yes, she, yeah. mm. she thought that I was that she said that I give advice that could be harmful to people rather than pulling what I would like solutions straight out of the book. And I'm like, hold on, you dragged me into your drama with your husband. And that's the live and let live. Like, first off, I would have never dragged her into my drama, my marriage, let alone, you know, then try to degrade her on the type of program that she's working. Like, it's just not, my, that's just not how I rock, but you know, to each their own. But yeah, I mean, the telephone therapy, like, I feel like you got to have those people that just know you inside and out so that you don't have, I mean, you know, when I have to go to my marriage counselor, I have to tell her like whatever's happened, like, you know, the whole last month. And I'm like, this is tiresome having to explain everything. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you got these two people and do you talk to them daily already or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say they're my two best friends.
Yeah.
That's what's
and up. How like important is that for your own like well-being and emotional and mental well-being to have?
Oh,
that?
Let me tell you, because if I didn't have them to go run and vent to about Shane or, you know, other people or any, like, I would probably be foolish most of the time. Because if I don't have somebody to help walk me through my anger or my sadness or whatever emotion that I'm feeling, like if I don't have somebody who can walk with me through it, then I feel alone. Yeah. And when I feel alone, what am I going to do? I'm going to go and not, try not to feel alone, which I've always used drugs and alcohol for. So
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's the, I think that's the importance of having somebody yeah. that you can telephone.
Yeah.
Like Jeff, what about you, Jeff?
Thanks. I've never heard it like that. I've never heard telephone therapy, you know. Yeah. So what is telephone therapy? And then I can chime in.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Crystal kind of broke it down, which is just, go ahead, David.
Who you can rap to, who do you got on your lifeline?
That's what I thought.
That you can rap okay. to no matter what is going down, and you feel free to, like, you don't got to, like, you know, go back to the beginning of your life to explain. Mm-hmm. Like, you can come off the top. Like, yo, this is some crazy shit. Da 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 da. You know what this person said to me? Yeah, like that.
So what are you asking about telephone therapy?
Well, I mean, what's it?
I do have about two people in my life. I don't really, you know, I don't really gel with a lot of people these days, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. you know. But I do have a few people in my life. You're one of them. Me and you just never, you know, did the telephone thing. You're one of them, of course. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's about five, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, three besides you two. And I know I could get on the phone and, you know, even though our respective relationships are relatively still early, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I know you're genuine. Y'all got more time than I do. And y'all know that I'm genuine. Mm-hmm. So I know I could get on the phone and holler at you about anything without judgment.
Yeah.
That's my
yes.
thing. That's my thing. And that's what got boomeranged to you, because her little feelings got hurt. So she got judgy on you. You know what I'm yeah. saying? But my thing is, depending on the level of camaraderie that I have with a person, you know, I'm not getting on the phone with them. We got to be tight. And I have to know that I can trust you to be a good human with my story.
And that's who your telephone yes. therapist is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because you're going to let them in on some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nitty gritty.
Yeah.
I got to trust you.
I'll tell you that I had somebody tell me I needed to get a white chip because I drank an Old Duels. Not my sponsor.
What's an Old Duels?
The non-alcoholic
beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him, well, you know what happened. So... this is a task that is strangely hard, though, because when I've had, for some sponsees who are early on, or some, not necessarily sponsee, just somebody who's early on, who's maybe coming to me to look for guidance, right? And like, I'm ready, what do I need to do? And, you know, I'll say, get three numbers mm-hmm. from the rooms and call them every day. Mm. And just say hi. You don't have to give them your life story. Mm-hmm. You don't have to open your heart to them. Just say hi. Start doing that. That has by far been the thing that people refuse to do.
Yeah. Well, even with, so.
That part.
I'm like, one of my two lifelines told me, you probably need to get a new sponsor. Not because my sponsor does anything wrong, but I just, like, we've kind of faded. We send our inventory to each other each night, but that's about it. I mean, and so she's like, you need to find a new sponsor. And I'm like, that means I have to, like,
get the numbers.
Find somebody that I can connect with, be willing to call them all the time.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but then I have to start over my whole life with them. You know, once you find those people that you just connect with that you don't have to explain anything to, dude, those people are hard to come by. Or, you know, it takes a lot to get to that point. So, yeah, I'm like, so she told me that today after she walked me through all this, telling me that's her, that lady's shit that, you know, you don't need to worry about. You work a fine program. She's like, but you really need to get a new sponsor. Like,
okay. Yeah. Well, if you don't have these numbers and start talking to people,
right.
you won't know who is a potential confidant or a friend or somebody that you can connect with. If you don't start to develop these relationships. And I think that's the thing, is like, it's really easy to be on the outskirts of a community and look like you're in it, but I not did really that forever. Be in it. Yeah. Lurking. Tell me about that. You did that forever.
Lurking.
I mean, I would, man, I am Mr. 90 and 90. Like, mm-hmm. I am that guy. I did so many 90 and 90s, bro, for real. Like, my whole early recovery, anything to do with the rooms, was because I was forced to do a 90 and 90 because of, you know, it was sentenced in my sentencing. Mm. And even whenever I was, like, trying to give it, like, an iota of a chance to, like, work in my life, I could never get involved. If I could share... You know what I'm saying? I can share. I can get up there and say, hey, my name is Dave, yada, 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 right? But I can never intertwine myself, because I think it was just, I felt uncomfortable, but there was something in me then that I felt like I just couldn't give up or something. It was the awkwardness of it all. Even if I'm sharing, I'm not really being real. And then if I would actually call somebody, and that means, oh, you're really doing it. And I probably didn't, you know, I'm just thinking back at it right now, all my reasons why I did that so many times and never really got involved. It was because, you know, I was probably fearful of not being able to do well in it, you know?
Yeah. I think of that as like the paradox of connection, because I can't truly connect with myself until I learn to connect with other people.
Right.
But I can't really truly connect with other people until I learn to connect with myself. Mm-hmm. So these things have to kind of happen reciprocally. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as I'm talking to people,
he's like, yeah.
As I'm talking to people, I'm beginning to see myself. Maybe I see myself in you, or and your response, or you call me and tell me something you're going through, and then I go, oh shit, I just went
right there with you.
Right.
Because even then, like, even when I was going through, I'd see people like, yo, just do like, that's, yo, he knows what's up. But that would almost like make me make sure I wasn't going to go to this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, this guy's, he's, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
like, he relates to me. You know what I'm saying? He knows what I'm, he knows what he's talking about. That's the last person I'm going to go to.
Yeah, I'm
going to
curve him.
But that's who I need. Yes. That's who I need to talk to the most. But I can say, nah, man.
That's the one I'm going to curve.
He can't get to know me like that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it was very, very hard. I mean, years and years of going to the rooms before I ever got involved, ever.
I think that's the importance of a home group, though. Like, that's the first place that you can really feel a part of something in the rooms. Because for me, like, I always try to be that person that, like, drags the newcomer. You know, not literally, but, like, make them feel a part of or welcome or start conversation with them or give them my number. Because, like, I know that they're probably not going to approach me. So if I approach them, then, you know, just break the ice, whatever. Because those type of people that did that for me coming into the room, I was like, okay, you know, I feel like I know somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you're being you're giving away what you got.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now let's move on to a topic.
this is good stuff, dude.
Rest. Do you get enough sleep?
Fuck yeah.
And why is sleep important? So let's have Jeff kick this one off. Talking about rest, and what are you doing?
I'm reading it. Oh. All right, what do you do to get enough sleep? What do you do to make sure you're on a good schedule, and why is it important? Cool.
So what I'd like from you, Jeff, is I'd like to know kind of what your own personal processes for this and how you approach it, and then also just your views in, because you're doing this group facilitating and talking about that, how much does that play into just general health and well-being for other people too? So how do you do this?
So you throw the kitchen sink at you. Yeah. How do I do what? Rest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do it well?
Huh?
Do you promote
it? Well,
I
don't get up. I don't get up to go to the bathroom when I sleep or nothing. I just rest all the way through.
You sleep all the way through?
Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? No, right? Oh, man. So when I first read that and you sent that, I was thinking as far as balance.
Yeah.
Now, I was looking at it from that perspective as far as, you know, and then we can boomerang to my sister over here in regard to you not getting the level of rest that you deserve because you go so hard.
I get plenty of sleep. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think he means sleep.
Oh.
I don't think he means sleep. That's the thing.
Okay, right?
Let me pull it back to myself after you say what you want to say. And then I can say, because I don't want you to think I'm coming for you. I'm not that girl from earlier.
So, I mean, I did not get a lot of rest because I got sober out in Norcross. I'm originally from Woodstock. Well, when I moved back to Woodstock, I was like, oh, I gotta let people know who I am.
Okay.
So in doing that, I had to always be involved in shit and always doing something. Like I had to put my name out there of what my recovery stands for and who I am in recovery. And I think I've done a very good job of doing that, but no, I wasn't. I wasn't taking time to, you know, really like rest and self-care and stuff like that. So yeah, before the holidays, I was like, I've got to reel it in a little bit. Mm. And I've done a little bit better with that. I still, on the weekends, that, you know, that's my time to go. But I think that if I don't learn how to do it, my body's going to learn how to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get back to answering the question originally posed for me. Okay. I work to the point these days where I feel like I can't give the value that whatever the topic is or the subject matter, if I can't give the value that it deserves because I need to rest, then I'm told that through my body, you know? And it's not like I go hard, you know what I mean? I don't have a physical job or anything like that. You know, I am facilitating a couple of days a week. Now, what I want to do is ask you, when you had touched on the facilitating part, from what perspective were you speaking in regard to the question at hand as far as rest?
Well, I don't know. I just thought, you know, you're doing that and, you know, and we talked about that empowerment stuff. And I thought, you know, how much is rest in that kind of stuff that you talk about?
Like, as you're facilitating, are you pushing the importance of rest?
That's what
in your health and wellness?
Yeah, I'm just kind of.
Yeah. As far as self-care.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going there, because if we're talking about, all right, if we're talking about rest in regard to wellness, the way that it translates to me is self-care. Okay. You know, like when it comes to me through my lens, I hear self-care in that. Yeah, speak about self-care. Definitely to them. I speak about self-care from the perspective of them understanding that your whole wellness journey is based on the level of self-care that you invest in yourself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? From that perspective, yeah. But am I on topic? Because I don't want to switch rest for self-care, but that's what I'm hearing. But specifically talking about rest, I get enough rest. I don't want to rest too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to rest too much. I would sleep for a long time. Yeah. So now I want to rest too much. But in regard to self-care, it is extremely paramount, especially for servants like us.
Right.
It's paramount for every human being on the planet. But for people like us, okay, who have chosen, all right, to become servants in one form or another for our respective communities, that self-care and that level of rest, it has to be paramount in your life because you get burnout. You'll get, you know, I'm on a spectrum. You know what I'm saying? So, and last year I had a SI flare-up, suicidal ideation flare-up, and I had two depressive, I would say mild depressive attacks because I've had been bipolar my whole life and, you know, on a spectrum bipolar. I'm stumbling over my words now. I've been on a spectrum in regard to that for years. So dealing with me being bipolar, the two episodes that I had last year, they were mild. Mm-hmm. Because of my history, I know the difference between a manic, you know what I mean? Right. So. So and one of those had to do with me not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Me not getting the rest that I was supposed to be getting last year. But see, with that type of rest, it wasn't physical. It was spiritual.
Yeah, for me. Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying, one of those episodes was definitely because I was depleted spiritually and I was supposed to be putting some work in on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Totally. I had a coach that brought it to my attention. He had me do this thing called, it's called a fluid schedule because, you know, I'm self-employed. So, you know, I'm the arbiter of my own chaos.
Mm-hmm. Look at him bragging on
them. Hey,
I'm a boss.
But so he brought it to my attention. He's like, okay, so you're doing an event Wednesday night and you're doing this thing on Thursday night and you're doing this thing on Friday night and you're working all day. So he's like, when do you stop? And I was like, stop?
What?
You know? And then he was the one that really put it in my mind, like, I got to take the weekends off. I was like, take the weekends off? What do you mean take the weekends off? And so he kind of, it's like awareness first. Once you become aware, then I saw it. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm. And that's where I began to talk about, I like how you're approaching it, right? About rest isn't just laying in the bed, sleep, right? And so, you know, I try not to sit at the computer and work, you know, on the weekends because I needed that kind of break. And if my weekends are too chaotic, then my Monday comes and I'm not energized for Monday. Mm-mm. Because I got used to taking that rest, that time. And then with the fluid calendar, it was like, okay, if your day is, you know, starts at 6 a.m. and doesn't end till 10 p.m., maybe throughout the course of that day, maybe block 2 hours out for you to take a walk or for you to maybe take a nap or for you to just chill for a minute, because he was trying to keep me from that concept of burnout. So rest was like a far off topic. And I think, like, you guys have kind of alluded to it, I'm also not very good at balance. So it'd be like, oh, you told me to rest? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going
to
go harder.
I'm taking a 3-week vacation.
Exactly that. Then I was like, okay, now I'm sleeping 12 hours and I'm taking naps. And I'm like,
oh,
now
I'd
I'm like,
flip the script.
Yeah, I went way too far. Yeah, I went hard the other way. He's like, dude, that's not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
Now, what about you, David? I know you live in Australia and you drive from Australia to this area every day. You spend a lot of time in a car and your days are long. Mm-hmm. But I know that you rest. How do you rest, and what's that like?
Well, one aspect of my rest I do very poorly, and I struggle big time. And, like, you know, I can go real negative about that, like thinking about my health and wellness and resting. I think it affects me physically, and sometimes I'm like, this is probably shortening my mortality. For real.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because my days are long and they're strenuous. And I have to do extra to, like, I feel like, you know, to be sharp, you know what I mean? Mm. And so that affects me in a negative way. And I'm not doing very well at that type of rest. And that type of rest is, like, I would be thinking, like, literal, like, during my work day, you know, I have an hour and a half commute. And then I usually have 14, 15 hour days. Mm. Okay. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lot. And it's a day filled with back to back to back to back to back to back to back.
What are you doing?
I mean? I'm a counselor and a group facilitator.
Yeah.
But that time I'm
doing. We need you not to burn out.
Yeah. So in that time, I'm also working two things. I'm working two jobs because my other job is almost like a fluid. It just goes. There's no hours. There's no time to be there, but it's all hours. Mm. You know what I mean? So that part, that aspect of my life is a struggle to, like, maintain and get that type of rest in that area of my life. However, and it kind of, this kind of, like, ties into, like, balance, right? Because that's part of it too. I do have rest, enriching rest spiritually, I believe, which doesn't necessarily mean physical rest to me. Like, I get this, like, peace, you know, in the way I live, in the way that there's a lot of peace in what I'm doing, You know what I mean? You know, so that aspect of my rest is very enriching. You know, like I'm in nature all the time. Meditation is part of my life. You know, I make sure, you know, I have some sort of like, I have communication with a lot of people that I love in a peaceful way, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's like I don't contact people for like obligation and work. I contact them for like I'm hoping I'm giving some healing, and I'm definitely getting some healing.
Right.
And then that's like restful peace to me. If that makes any, you know what I'm saying? So,
100%.
You know, like my dogs and my moves with my dogs and like interacting with my child, you know, as she's in this, like my youngest one, as she's like in this part of her life, really is a restful, peaceful, fulfilling, purposeful, restful time for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like 100%. You're resting your soul.
Yeah, like that is good. I feel more rest in that area of my life, in which it used to be, you know, really bad. I was always in spiritually in turmoil with the way I live my life and the way I would think, the way I thought and my intentions were very chaotic. You know what I mean? But that part
soul,
of my life,
your soul is currently at rest because of level.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
In every aspect
that
of
sound
life.
A little different than what I meant, though. Your soul is at rest. But
yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Like, so how is he still?
How is he still alive?
I am at rest.
Leslie, is your hand cramping? You all right?
Yeah. She got to move. She got to move.
Rest. Yeah.
She's moving the chair.
I mean, I think you're talking about, like, because you live in a purpose-filled life. And I think that the thing about rest is, you know, we don't live in a culture that's very rest
friendly.
When I worked in the entertainment industry, it was like we showed up at 5 a.m. and if you stayed late as possible, you were like, it was like a badge of honor, you know. Or if the next morning at 5 a.m. you could say, oh, I was answering emails to the boss at 11 p.m. you know, and everyone's like, oh, you were emailing him at 11? 1 a.m. I took his call. Oh, my God. And so it's like a badge of honor. Like, we're freaking working ourselves to death. And everyone's like looking at you crazy. Like, you're only going to do 12 hours today? You know? And then, like, it's like, when can we not get a hold of you? That's the thing. Like, when can we not get a hold of you?
Yeah.
There ought to be a point in time
like
when we can't get a hold of you.
Well, because do I exercise that?
You do exercise that.
I like that.
Don't try to call David on Sunday.
Yeah,
you ain't happening. It ain't coming to. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That's no, it is
that
good.
Is a healthy boundary.
I like that.
Yeah.
I just don't answer the phone.
Go ahead.
My phone stays on do not disturb.
Don't answer the phone. I would look right at that boy.
Watch it ring.
Watch it ring. I'm sitting there right on my bed
brain
playing with Bella.
Let me do that. I'm like, and then I end up answering it. I can't not answer the phone.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's good to define what rest is for you, right? Which I think, like, as part of what David is, I guess, illuminating too, is like by him doing certain activities, it's restful to him, right?
Right.
Where, and for some of us, it's like, you got to explore that and see what that's like. Right.
Yeah.
Because maybe it is laying down and watching a show and that's like a good restful thing. Or maybe it is getting a good full 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever your body needs, sleep at night. Right. And so exploring that and considering that and thinking about that, because when we're in an active addiction, most of us aren't taking care of our bodies.
No.
We're not getting proper rest. And you know, if you ever like have a drunk sleep, you think you're sleeping,
that's
but
not
it's sleep. It's not a very good sleep. Or if you ever have like a coke sleep, which is where you're just laying there with your eyes closed.
Praying, let me go sleep. Just 30 minutes.
But honestly,
oh my God, dude, that's the worst.
But in my active addiction, my spirit and my soul was restless.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Physically, I didn't give a shit what was going on. I didn't care. Like, you know, but I was in such a turmoil, chaotic, filled, like filthy, shitty feeling all the time. Disgusting. Even in that escape, it was like...
You had to escape.
Yeah, it was just like a numbness.
Yeah,
because
everything was empty.
I had to, like, that's why I was like, you know, me personally, my addiction was gnarly, man. Like, I would use to where, like, I was just not nothing.
Yeah.
To get out of that, you know, and even then, that wasn't rest. That wasn't, that escape was full of, you know, ugliness. I can't even think of the words. Like, I was, my soul was so restless. My spirit was so restless, you know, that psychologically, you know, mentally, I hated myself so much that whenever I would get sober, it was like I was suicidal almost daily.
Yeah.
Because the shame of my life.
Starts flooding.
Bro, the shame of my life, I had to put something in my arm immediately. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what fueled my addiction for so many years. Was guilt and shame.
Guilt and shame, yep. Guilt and shame. I want to Now that David has more or less elucidated his point.
Oh, is that a word?
Yeah, I just made it
another
up.
West.
I might have.
Elucidated?
Yeah. I like four syllables and
I'm
better.
Buy it.
If it has less than four syllables, I try not to say it.
Okay.
If Keith Murray can rock with that, I'm
elucidated.
Down with it.
Here with the brother saying, I can understand more so now after he spoke a little bit more about it. You have to look at it from the perspective of how intensely crazy, okay, the level of despair. At least let me speak about my addiction, because I was the guy who would, like, you know, sleep in dumpsters. Mm. Why? Ain't nobody coming there fucking with me.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Come on. Who's going to be like, hey, let's go in back of Popeye's dumpster and see if somebody's in there and if they're doing something? No. This is a dry dumpster. I'm good. You know what I mean? That was my strategy, literally sleeping inside dumpsters. So we talk about rest. All right? Active addiction for me for over 30 years, I was restless. Mm-hmm. So when David said it, I was like, got you. Totally got you. So then when I found God... And I found recovery, that level of peace that was given to me, I'm still resting in it. Mm. And there's days that I go hard on a physical and mental aspect, but spiritually, I'm rested, if that's making sense.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow, like with the kids. Oh, my Lord. I love Fridays. Yeah. I love Fridays. 9, 10, and 11, I'm doing three shifts, right? And depending on, you know, who's in the group, you know what I mean? Because you have various levels of energy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I might exert myself a little bit more in certain sessions than others in regard to, you know, rallying them, like, you know how to go, right? You got to rally them, you got, you know what I mean? And pull it and all that and facilitate, I guess, right? Even with all that, even when it's intense and there's like 20-something people and I'm doing that, bruh, I'm doing... what I've been called to do. So from that perspective, I'm always rested. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I never feel depleted of energy for that.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit later after I leave there and I get in the car 15 minutes later, kick in, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
But in the midst of doing what I've been called to do, I always have enough energy. So I totally understand what David means as far as, you know, Am I hitting that correctly?
No, you're right. But you know the thing. So you're saying this, and I'm thinking about, like, to me right now, I got to go to my honesty. Is where I struggle too. It's like I there is a fulfillment in one side of my rest, but when you look at health and wellness as a whole, right? Like, as well as I feel that I'm doing spiritually, I am really struggling in a different aspect of rest in my life. And that's like the hours that I put in, where I have to, like, you know, where I have to be in tune. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a laborious job, right? But I have a job that's like, you know, I take it as, man, like, somebody's going to come in here and fill me up with something and have a serious... They're gonna table something, bro, that's gonna really mean something to them. And like maybe their life depends on it. Right. And that's, and I mean that, you know, I've had these kind of conversations, and I'm at my career and my passion lies in like being able to be there, be sharp, be able to give back, be real, be authentically me in that process. So like,
and I be clear while you're doing
it. So, you know, I question myself, you know, my wife can call me exactly at 3:30. She's like, I know you're tired. It's about time for you. You know, you got to catch your second wind. I know this is where you feel start, you know, getting woozy. And that's when my second half of my day really starts. So that part of my day, I make it like I do whatever I have to do to like, all right, you know, sometimes I pace. I drink another cup of coffee. I'll get an energy drink. I'll drink more water. And then I'm like, okay, this dude will be in 5 minutes. Dave, all right, I'm Dave. Let's do it.
All right.
And that's the, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired when I come here. You know that.
Yes.
I'm tired when I come here, but you know. I gotta.
What did I say? You better learn to rest your body or your body's going to do it for you.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I question my mortality at times.
Yeah.
I'm 50 years old. Like, yo.
Dang, running like you're 20.
You got to figure this out. And that's something I really have got to figure out.
Yeah.
And so even though I feel good, this side is like, man, I got to really, like, panic.
Gotcha.
Almost. I'm struggling on that side of my life. You know what I mean? Just being real.
Okay. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for saying
that. Yeah, figure that shit out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been doing a thing where I haven't been able to sleep at night. So I'll fall asleep for an hour, and then my mind will start ticking. And I'll roll over, and I'm tired, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna wake up. I'm gonna stay asleep. I'm gonna stay asleep.
I got a trick for you. I got a hack, a life hack.
And then my mind will go, and then it's just like I'm out. And then I'm out of the sleep, and I'm up till 3-4 in the morning. Mm. And that has been the worst because I, you know, I was a cokehead, I was a meth head. So sleep is like, I loved sleep.
Me too.
I love it. I'm so grateful to like. Sleep.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's beautiful. Let me tell
you, it's beautiful.
It is. Like, because, you know, I started using meth when I was like 12, 13 years old. Mm. You know, so like, this relationship I have with rest has been jacked up. And then, like, I always felt like if, you know, some way like the Coke and the Adderall was keeping me in the fight longer. Because I wasn't like a
stay up for something
kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I mean? Yeah. I was doing it every day, all day, so that I could stay up.
Yeah.
Because I'm working on my music project. I'm working on a side project. I'm working at the work. And so I'm like, I need this energy.
Yeah, it allows you to get shit done.
You can get ahead, even ahead of the
game.
Those
Addies, those Adderalls.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's not a good combo.
It is not.
I went crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's a fact.
Yeah. I went crazy.
Coke and Addies?
Oh, yeah.
Not a good combo.
And no sleep.
We talking day 6, day 7? What?
So now, right now, when I'm not able to sleep, it really messes with my constitution.
Mm. Mm. I get that.
You know, and I do creative work. So when I sit at the computer, if my mind is tired.
Yeah. Dude.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You try to write when you're tired in the brain. Uh-uh. Like my body might be okay, and I could like sit with a client or something and talk to them, and I'll be energetic and, you know. But to sit and kind of manifest things.
Because, you know, halfway awake.
I'm like an alchemist, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, nothing exists, and then I do a bunch of shit, and then it exists.
Gotta love it.
Right? That's hard to do when my mind is running on 3-4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I can't do that.
It just don't happen. So,
see, okay. I don't.
What's your hack?
I don't
you got a hack?
Yeah, I got a hack.
What is it?
I got a hack. I program myself every night, and my wife can testify to this. Every night, I put my AirPods in. Why? Because I like to make sure that I go to sleep to programs that I made for myself. You see that? Affirmations.
That's application.
Affirmations playlist. That
is that
first
you
one.
Talking?
Yeah, 100%.
So you talking to yourself?
Yeah.
You put your headphones
oh, you
in
wild ass
and
dude,
listen to yourself talk.
You wild as shit. I like that. Yo.
Look.
That is crazy.
You listen to yourself.
Yo, you need to send that to me, man. I love that.
So, okay. He got his own sleep joint.
So I got
I
that
love
one.
It.
I got nice. 5 of them right there, right? And being that it's Apple Music and we have the AirPods, right? I could put it on infinity on the phone.
On the loop?
On the loop. Right? Put them boys in.
Don't forget the mic.
Thank you.
I put them boys in. Love that.
Every night. Every night, literally. What does this say, David? Hold up. Yo, what does this say?
You ever like wake up in the middle of the night and be like, who the fuck's talking? Oh, it's me.
Hey, what'd that say right there? That last one I sent to my wife.
Please put my AirPods on the charge in the room.
Oh, so do you have them?
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens is, aside from the fact of, you know, I'm reprogramming myself because I'm dumping that into my subconscious.
Yeah.
Every night, whatever the message is. Aside from that, right? You don't have to worry about your brain going anywhere, racing thoughts, because you're listening to yourself, and those are your affirmations that you're focusing on before you go to sleep.
So here's, let's everybody do your own. This
dude,
is what
I like that.
This
I
is what mine's going to be. You're not a piece of shit.
All day. Yeah.
You have worth and value.
Yes, sir.
Fuck them haters.
Make sure you listen to Leslie.
she gonna plug things in.
Bullshit.
Like in the middle of it.
Bullshit, Kristen.
She gonna have a drop in there.
What was that?
What's yours?
I take 1 10-milligram melatonin gummy.
Okay.
I had to get on anxiety medication for the racing. I would like be asleep for a couple hours, and then I would wake up and couldn't go back to sleep for hours. And I was like, I can't do this. So I got put on anxiety medicine. But I take 1 melatonin gummy, and I turn on my rain sounds, and I'm...
Those rain sounds. Yeah. Rain sounds.
I say, Alexa,
beautiful.
Rain sounds, and she plays them.
She's like, yes, bitch, yeah. Here you go.
And then, you know, the nights that she's like, I'm having trouble understanding, I'm like, you fucking bitch. I get so pissed because it completely throws off my entire schedule.
I'm happy I'm not the only one who curses out my Alexa. That's what I'm happy about.
I'm telling
you. So last night, let me tell you, just really quick. So I was already asleep. Shane, he comes to bed later than I do, but he came in there and he disturbed me and woke me up. And,
I know what you're going
to say. I was like, what the fuck? So I grabbed my grab the blanket. I keep like comforters under our bed. So I grab one and I'm like, I'm going to sleep on the couch. So I go to sleep on the couch. Well, I can hear him telling the dog, Finley, come here. Finley, get up here. Up here, Finley, come on. And I was like, I opened the door and I said, can you not just let the dog be? So I shut the door and I go outside. I have two different Alexas, one in my bedroom and then I have one in my office. But my office is right next to like the living room. So I'm like, Alexa, rain sounds. Nothing. I'm like, Alexa, rain sounds. Lord. Nothing. I God said it like you. 4 or 5 times. And you know, it'll make that like that. Yes, that noise, like it's gonna about to play something. Nothing. And I was like, fuck you, bitch. And I went and laid on the couch. And I finally fell back asleep. But like, just when you can ask Shane, when my sleep gets disrupted,
it's not a good thing.
It is a war in my house because like I have to sleep. So David, hats off to you, dude, because I would have done fell over dead.
Do you require a lot of sleep?
Some people don't. Some people don't.
I do.
Like, I really don't.
I notice that if I'm, you know, the older I'm getting, and I'm not that old, contrary to Jeff's
knock it off. Opinion. David is older than me.
Yes, and I'm younger than both of y'all. So. But I found that, like, you know, I like to get I need like a solid 8. Like, that's a good number for me.
And I can't do 8.
Yeah, anything less than that, it's like really operate.
It's like I get up at 4:30 now. It's weird.
So what time do you go to bed?
About 10, 11.
Ooh, no, I'm in bed by 9.
It's a little later than that now, too, because me and her watch our show about 10 o'clock. We just finished Wayward Pines. So we always got a show that we're watching. So about 11, because I know 10 o'clock definitely we're watching the show. About 11, a little bit after that, I'm asleep.
Up at 4:30?
But see, it's really 5:30. But for some reason, it's been a 4:30 thing because I was going to the bathroom at 4:30. So my body gets like my body gets programmed quick to do things.
Yeah.
Like if I wake up at 4:30 for 3-4 nights in a row, then I'm waking up at 4:30. Now I got to force myself to go. You understand what I'm saying? That one little hour right there. I like getting up at 5:30, 6 the absolute latest.
Mm-hmm.
6 the absolute
latest. Yeah, ideally that's where I would get up.
You get up pretty early.
Because I like that early morning time before the house opens up. Yep. But when I'm not sleeping until 3, that 5:30 and 6 ain't going to work. Mm-mm. I don't even know what's happening. No alarm's going off. I think it's a demon in my sleep. Yeah. You know, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? So I think we've covered it pretty good. There's some other topics, but we're going to leave it at that. And I think like the...
Get your rest.
We got some... But this is the stuff like... You know, when people talk about this stuff and you hear like these adages and sayings and, you know, easy does it and live and let live and you know, you got to have some self-care and all that kind of stuff. Like, and your book has been, I love how your book breaks it down. Like, this is why this saying exists, right? And what it means to me. But, you know, these are things that I find like, it's one thing that you stop ingesting a chemical that's killing you and causing harm to you and everyone you love. Mm. Congratulations. Right. That's the beginning.
That is the beginning.
Yes.
The rest of it is the all beginning. Of this stuff.
That's almost like that.
Live and let live. Yes, right. It's live and let live. It's getting rest. It's taking care of yourself. It's having some work-life balance. It's knowing, you know, how to manage your emotions. It's having authentic connections. And this is all part of the, it's part of the game now. And so if you're struggling, it's okay, and that's part of the process is to kind of like learn, because you're learning a whole new way of life.
You have to learn how to navigate it.
Yeah.
We don't champion struggling enough.
Right. Yeah.
The fact that the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, we want the goal. It's over there. I'm here. The goal is over there. I gotta walk through something to get to the goal. But a lot of us, and I was there, and I still am sometimes, but I'm learning to be more appreciative of the journey itself, bro. Mm. The struggle itself.
Right.
Because it's in the eye of the storm that we learn. So it's in the struggle, and you might not learn it. You're not going to learn it in the struggle. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to learn it in the struggle, but if you're going through a struggle and you have certain skill sets and then you make it through the struggle, when you're able to look back 2020, you see the lesson learned.
Right. Mm.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then, and some of us were programmed because we used to just take something or drink something that can make us feel and think a certain way. And that's a real easy. And now the things that we want are going to take some time and there's a process to it. And that's a little harder to accept. And
yeah,
to come
there's
to
no
terms
instant
with.
Gratification.
Right.
There's no, I mean, like for me, an active addiction, anything that I wanted, I was either going to take it or, you know, it was going to be given to me. It's not like that anymore. Like, I have to work for everything that I have. You know, that's not to say that people don't help me along the way, but it's like, I have to work for it.
Yeah.
And it comes in time, but it's like, you gotta earn that shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Talk about it.
Can't just, I mean.
Yeah. So if you're going through this process, you can always reach out. If you've made it to this part of the show, email me and I'll send you a hat. And then also, if you've made it to this part of the show, you know, message us, email
that's
us,
so cool, man.
Send us a message. And
that's tight. Yeah.
And then how about
we stuff coming up. Once,
yeah,
once I finish
we got
the
some other
book,
things.
You know, we're
going to send some other things.
So some
if you make it to the end.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So thanks for listening to The Most High Show. You are loved and you're worth the work. Reach out if you need help. We're here for you. Peace.
Word.
Peace.